Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. And I am live on Sunday, April 24th, 2022. It is 2 a.m. in Beijing, China, 3 a.m. in Tokyo, Japan, 5 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, 10 a.m. in Vancouver, Canada, 12 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 6 p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria, 6 p.m. in London, England, 7 p.m. in Berlin, Germany, 8 p.m. in Israel, and 9 p.m. in Moscow, Russia. What time is it where you are, friend? I hope that you are excited about our talk today. I'm so excited about what God's given me to share with you. May I hear from you today? I'd love to hear your perspective on anything we discussed today. You can reach me here at PGM by calling 1-319-527-6027. Our PGM number for all of our shows is always 1-319-527-6027. I would love to get you on today, and if you want to participate with guest commentary, or maybe you have a prayer request or a question, you can call me now at 1-319-527-6027, or you can call at any point in the hour. I'll be taking your calls live at the top of the hour. Again, you can reach us at 1-319-527-6027. In our lesson today, I'll be talking about the new heaven, new earth, and eternities of eternities portion of the book of Revelation. I want to begin with some opening prayer, three feel better scriptures for you. God gave me these words on March 17th, and they are from the book of Revelation. Here are three genuine and true God-written statements. Number one, God says, I will create a new earth. Number two, God says, I will live among men and I will personally be with you. And God says, I will be your God in your future after you are resurrected. In Revelation 21, verse 1, God says, I will create a new earth. And here's what God is saying to you today. Because of sin, the earth and its inhabitants are under a curse. The earth in its present form is not my best. My best is coming. I promise you that although the physical earth and all of its wonders are in a seemingly continuous and permanent state of decline, they are not. I am the God of creation, and I have the power to regenerate all things. I promise you that I will create a new earth, and the current earth in its fallen state under the curse of sin will be no more. Thank you, Lord. And God says in Revelation 21:3, I will live among men and I will personally be with you. And here's what God is saying to you today. I promise you that you have a future beyond the current earth and your current body, and I am in it with you. In the future, I will relocate my throne, which is in heaven, the heaven I created, to the new earth. I will relocate my abode in all of heaven to the new earth. On the new earth, I will personally be with you. You will have a new body, a perfect body that will never die, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These are promises of God for those who are victorious, those who endure to the end, those who have repented of their sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and are living according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And a third genuine and true God-written statement about the new heaven and new earth. I will be your God in your future after you are resurrected. That's in Revelation 21, verse 3. And here's what God is saying to you today. I promise you that I will still be your God when your first body passes away. You are in Christ, and therefore you are never lost. Do not be afraid. I always know where you are, whether you are on the earth or in heaven. Those who die in Christ are mine. When you pass away in Christ, you immediately pass into heaven. I am with you now. I will personally be with you in heaven, and I will continue to be with you when we are on the new earth forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for those awesome promises. I am on duty as your Book of Revelation research scientist. This is, again, a personal invitation for you to call in to share your question or prayer request if you have one. If you don't and you're listening today but not talking and sharing, that's fine too. I'm so grateful for your time. I appreciate the time that you give to listening and learning about the Book of Revelation. Let's begin with a brief overview of the structure of the Book of Revelation. So how are the writings in the Book of Revelation structured and organized? First, the Book of Revelation begins with a summary. The technical term used in professional writing is abstract. The Book of Revelation begins with an abstract of the book in its entirety. Second, the abstract in chapter 1 is followed by an introduction written from John's perspective. Third, the introduction is followed by the transcribed spoken words of Jesus Christ to John for the seven churches that existed in Asia at that time. Those are in chapters 2 and 3. Fourth, in chapter 4, there's a report on heaven written from John's perspective. Fifth, and comprising the vast majority of the Book of Revelation, there are 11 prophetic statements that include prophecies for the earth and heaven. Each of those prophetic statements includes its own abstract, followed by continued discussion. The prophetic statements begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Last, the Book of Revelation ends with a formal conclusion of the book, which begins with verse 6 of chapter 22. It is a formal conclusion for the Book of Revelation of its entirety, and it is narrated by both John and Jesus. So, what are the prophetic statements that comprise the bulk of the Book of Revelation? There are 11 of them. They are narrated by John. The first prophetic statement is the seven seals. The second prophetic statement is the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets prophetic statement is followed by the 1,260 days prophetic statement. Fourth, dragon power. Fifth, lamb stood. The sixth prophetic statement is the seven plagues. The seventh prophetic statement is omnipotent reigns. The eighth prophetic statement is followed by the ninth prophetic statement, the dead judged. The 10th prophetic statement is the new earth, and the 11th prophetic statement is the city. Let me go back and make sure that I share the 8th prophetic statement. And the 8th prophetic statement is dragon bound. Okay, so next, we're going to examine the last set of prophetic statements, which document the new heaven, new earth, and eternities of eternities in the book of Revelation. These are prophetic statements number 9, number 10, and number 11. Recall that prophetic statement number 9 is the dead judged. The 10th prophetic statement is the new earth. And the 11th prophetic statement is the city. So we'll be talking about these prophetic statements today. They begin with Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and end with chapter 22, verse 5. For each prophetic statement, we will focus on its abstract. We are in a four-lesson series focused on a study of the abstracts in the book of Revelation. We always should want to know where an abstract appears in the book of Revelation because we want to make sure that we understand what's most important from God's perspective. In the same way that a director provides viewers with a movie trailer in order to communicate the key conflicts and the key players in a movie, God and other professional writers who create nonfiction documents, use a professional writing technique that is the use of an abstract. An abstract provides a reader with key information, key issues, key problems, and key outcomes from the perspective of the writer. So when we hear the abstract for a prophetic statement in the book of Revelation, we are hearing what's most important from the perspective of God from that prophetic statement in its entirety. So when we look at a prophetic statement, there are many verses, many issues and details, exciting details are discussed. However, what is most important? What are the takeaway points for the reader from the perspective of God? The abstract gives us that information. So it's valuable and useful for us to study the abstracts as a way to get a good and comprehensive overview, understanding of the book of Revelation from start to finish. So we've been in a four-lesson series, which is a study of the abstracts in the book of Revelation. It began 3 lessons ago, so this is our 4th and final lesson. We'll be looking at prophetic statements number 9, 10, and 11. Let's begin with prophetic statement number 9, dead judged. This is the first of 3 prophetic statements that comprise the new heaven, new earth, and eternities of eternities portion of the book of Revelation. If you are following along with me in your Bible, the dead judged begins with verse 11 of chapter 20 and ends with verse 15. It is the shortest of all the prophetic statements in the book of Revelation, but it includes some extremely interesting and important information. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for the 9th prophetic statement in the book of Revelation. Each prophetic statement in the book of Revelation was given to John in a vision using words from the Bible as a title. We can think of this as the prophetic statement entitled Dead Judged. Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done. Their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in. That is the abstract in its entirety for the dead judged prophetic statement. By using what is essentially a movie trailer and words, God is telling us the key issues, problems, and outcomes communicated in this prophetic statement in the book of Revelation. So what are the issues and outcomes? Number one, there's a great white throne and God sits on that throne. Number two, we learn that there is coming a judgment which will be conducted by God himself. Number three, at this judgment, which is sometimes called the great white throne judgment, the dead will be judged. Recall that there are two judgments. This is the second judgment, which precedes the second death. This judgment, the second judgment, is for those who did not live again until after the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. The second judgment, this judgment, the great white throne judgment, is only for those who died but who did not die in Christ. These are individuals who have been disembodied. They did not receive a glorified body at the time of the rapture. These are individuals who are disembodied and they have been living in Hades without the light of God or the light of the earth. Recall that in the dragon-bound prophetic statement, which includes Revelation 20, verse 5, we learn that the dead would not be restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So there are those who died in Christ prior to the rapture, those who were changed in the twinkling of an eye at the time of the rapture, after those who had already died were raised up with their glorified body. And then there's this third group of individuals, those who experience the first death, so they go from dust to dust. And when they die, like all individuals who experience the first death, they are disembodied. So we are three parts as human beings. We're body, spirit, and soul. If we experience the first death, our soul remains intact. That's our mind, will, and emotions. Our spirit remains intact, but our body decomposes. We are disembodied. We learn that from the Word of God. So when an individual is disembodied, there are two locations. An individual goes to only one of those locations when he or she is disembodied. If you are disembodied and you die in Christ, you go to heaven prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you are disembodied but you did not die in Christ, in other words, you did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you were not restored to sonship, you continue to be a son of Adam rather than a son of God. And so since you are a son of Adam, you inherit the curse, your body dies, and you stay disembodied until this point. So what is this point? We are in prophetic statement number 9. This point is the point where those who did not die in Christ, they are restored to life again, and they are restored to life again for the purposes of being judged. What is the fifth key issue? All those who rejected Christ will be judged on, according to verse 2 in this chapter, according to verse 2 in chapter 20, all those who rejected Christ will be judged based on their feelings, their actions, their aims, and their endeavors, which have all been recorded in books. So that's not good news. This is a reality we should all be aware of, but it's not good news because all have come short. All have sinned. The earth is fallen. If you are a human being on the earth, that means that you have sinned, I have sinned. That's a part of the reality of this stage of life. The only way to be in right standing with God is to have all your sins taken from your account and put onto the account of Jesus Christ. In other words, there must be a payment for sin because God is a righteous God. So when a human being sins, that sin has to be paid for. There must be an accounting for that. And so either you can choose to pay for your own sins, in which case the payment is death. That's the payment. That's the cost. Or you can choose to have your sins imputed to Jesus Christ's account. In other words, you can accept the free gift that Jesus has provided to you by dying on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all of your past, present, and future sins. You have the right to accept or reject that payment for your sins. So, because God is a righteous God, all sins must be paid for. So you can go with payment number one, which is, yes, Lord, let your blood pay for my sin debts. Let all of my sins be imputed unto you. In other words, imputed is just a fancy word the Bible uses for put onto the account of another person. So all your sin debts can be put onto the account of Jesus Christ, and his account says paid in full. Friend, make sure that your sin debts are paid in full, because either you're going to experience this great white throne judgment, or earlier, prior to this 1,000 years, you received your glorified body and your rewards as a saint. So if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you do not experience this great white throne judgment. So how do you make sense of this? When you are looking at Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, know that you are in the 9th prophetic statement. There are 11 prophetic statements. This prophetic statement is about the dead judged. It discusses what happens to those who did not die in Christ. Let us continue. So the 10th prophetic statement, New Earth, begins with verse 1 of chapter 21 and ends with verse 22 of chapter 21. From the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for the 6th prophetic statement in the book of Revelation. Each prophetic statement was given to John in a vision using words from the Bible as a title. This is the prophetic statement, New Earth. Let's hear its abstract. Then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth. For the former sky and the former earth had passed, vanished, and there no longer existed any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautiful and adorned for her husband. That is the abstract for the New Earth prophetic statement. In the abstract for the New Earth prophetic statement, God reveals the issues and problems as well as the key outcome or outcomes, which are more fully described in the discussion immediately following the abstract. God tells us in the abstract that the issues, problems, and key outcomes from his perspective are, number one, our current earth, old earth, will pass away. Number two, our current sky, old sky, will pass away. Number three, there will be a new sky and a new earth. Number four, the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven, emerge onto and into the new earth. In this way, there will be the merging of heaven and earth. Now think about this. We learned in the Seven Trumpets prophetic statement that two wars, at a minimum, two important wars, are in our future. With the sixth prophetic statement, we learned about World War III, and we learned that this war will begin in the area that spans the Euphrates River with the loosing of four demonic angels, four angels who have been assigned to take out a third of mankind. We learned that they will succeed. Now, what could take out a third of mankind? It's probably going to be nuclear. Nuclear weapons will allow men and women inspired by Satan and his fallen angels to exterminate a third of all mankind and to bring havoc to other creatures that exist on the earth and onto the earth itself. Now, after this happens, you can imagine that waters will be polluted, that there will be trees and creatures that are damaged. We'll be burying people in masses. We'll have hundreds, if not thousands, of mass graves. It will be a difficult time on the earth. Indeed, we know that at the end of the age, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. And at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars, which is followed by peace on earth for 1,000 years, there will be an earthquake. So why do we need a new earth? In the same way that our bodies have errors. How did we get errors? And what do I mean by errors? Your DNA right now is not perfect. If your DNA was perfect, you would never get gray hair. If your DNA was perfect, you would never get cancer. If your DNA was perfect, you would never have a lazy eye. You would not have one foot that's longer than another. You would have a perfect body. You would have an incorruptible body, but you don't, and I don't. But we will. You, if you are his, if you are in Christ, there's coming a day where you will receive in the twinkling of an eye your incorruptible, perfect body, a tangible body that receives food, a tangible body that will never die, that will be here for the eternities of eternities, beginning with the arrival of Jesus Christ, continuing through the 1,000 years of the millennial reign and also continuing into the eternities of eternities. Now, in the same way that our bodies have errors, the earth and the sky are not perfect. They are under the curse. Trees dying, animals eating each other, that's not God's best. It's not God's best for an animal to thrive and live as a result of consuming another one of God's creatures. And we learn elsewhere in the Bible, in books of the prophets, that at the time when we get the new earth and the new heaven, animals will go to a vegetarian diet. In this prophetic statement, in the abstract, in the new earth, it says that our current sky and our current earth will pass away. Now, what does that mean? Our current bodies will pass away, but we will get a new body, a perfect body, a body that is what God's perfect will is, his best for us, and we are going to get a new earth and new sky that reflects God's best for the earth. That's exciting. That's something for us to look forward to. We do our best to take care of this earth. We recycle. We do things to try to make sure that we don't lose the different various species. We do things to try to preserve the trees and the forests that exist. But we are failing. We'll never get this environment 100% right. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be excellent stewards of the earth. But the reality is that the earth is in a state of decline because we are in the stage where we are under the curse. That being said, God has a plan for perfect restoration for you, perfect restoration for the earth, perfect restoration for the animals on the earth, perfect restoration for the sky that we look at and gaze upon as we dwell on the earth. That perfect plan is a new earth, a regenerated earth, an earth free of errors. A sky free of errors. And not only is this a plan, this is a promise. This is not something that maybe could happen. Oh, this is not something that's a great idea. This is something that is going to happen. This is a promise of God. He tells us that these prophecies, every prophecy in the book of Revelation is sure to come to pass and shortly. So, take home point, prophetic statement number 10, new earth communicates God's perfect plan and promise the realities that are coming of a new perfect earth, a new perfect sky. That is something that we can look forward to. This is coming at the conclusion of the millennial reign, which ends with the dead judged, and following the judgment of the dead, there is the passing away of the new earth and the passing away of the old earth and the old sky and the creation of the new earth and the new sky. Now, in the same way that you're going to exist again in your self-same body, we're going to live again on the self-same earth, but it's an earth free of errors. So it's not something that we won't recognize, but it will be something that is familiar, but perfected. When you see your loved ones again who died in Christ, they will be familiar, but perfected. It will look the same, but free of gray hair, free of cancer, free of multiple sclerosis, free of Alzheimer's, free of mental illness, free of physical illness. The earth, once the dead have been judged, and we learn when we look into the details, when we read farther along in the dead judge prophetic statement, we learn that those whose names were not in the book of life, they are not permitted to stay on the earth. Once those individuals have received their righteous judgment and they are no longer on the earth, then it is the time for the new earth and the new sky to be upon us, to be a part of our existence. At that appointed time, when the earth is free from inhabitants who pollute it, when the sky is free from inhabitants who pollute it with their sin, with their aims and actions and motives, which are dominated by Satan, when those individuals no longer exist on the earth, that is the appointed time for the new earth to emerge. And that is going to happen. That is a promise of God. The new earth will exist. It is going to be glorious. Now, what happens after the new earth? After the new earth, we can look forward to the eternities of eternities. And let us take a look at prophetic statement number 11. This is the last prophetic statement in the book of Revelation. It begins with verse 23 of chapter 21 and concludes with verse 5 of chapter 20. Is the abstract from the Amplified Classic Translation. It's the shortest abstract of them all. God is able to communicate all of the key issues, problems, and outcome from his perspective in one verse. Recall that each prophetic statement was given to John in a vision and using words from the Bible. We can think of this prophetic statement as the city. Let us hear from the Amplified Classic Translation, reading from verse 23 of chapter 21. Here it is. And the city has no need of the sun nor of the moon to give light to it, for the splendor and radiance, glory of God, illuminate it, and the Lamb is its lamp. In the abstract for the city prophetic statement, God reveals the issues and problems as well as the key outcomes, which are more fully described in the discussion immediately following the abstract. God tells us in this abstract that the issues, problems, and key outcomes from his perspective are, number one, the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, is the light in the city, which is the new Jerusalem. So remember, at this point, we already have the new earth. So everything on the earth is new. It is perfected. You will be with me and all of us who are in Christ in your new perfected body. You'll have your same soul, mind, will, and emotions, your same spirit. But you will be threefold again, body, spirit, and soul, with your new body on the new earth, which includes a new Jerusalem. So again, number one issue from God's perspective is that the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, is the light of and in the city, which is the new Jerusalem. Number two, in the new Jerusalem, on the new earth, there will not be a sun, S-U-N, because the sun, S-O-N, lights the city. So the reason we have a sun, we learned back in Genesis, is to give light to the earth. But once the sun, S-O-N, lights the city and permanently. He never sets. A physical sun, S-U-N, rises and sets. But the sun is an omnipresent individual on the earth, on the new earth, and because he will illuminate it, there is no night. So isn't that interesting? Consider the reality to come. On the new earth, there will be perpetual day because we know that God is light and there's no darkness in him. Because there's no darkness in him, he never goes dark. The light within him never sets. It is omnipresent, continuous, perpetual. And so the sun, the Lamb of God, will illuminate the new earth and specifically the city, the Bible tells us, which is the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, where God promised that he would put his name, where the Antichrist at the time of the abomination of desolation will declare that he is God. That's the counterfeit. So in Jerusalem, the Antichrist, we learn in the dragon power and beast prophetic statement. But staying here where we are at the time of the new earth, the splendor and radiance of God will light the holy city. That's key issue number 4. The splendor and radiance of God will light the holy city, the new Jerusalem. So that is exciting. Now, you might say, well, what else is happening? Many things are happening on the new earth. Recall that God communicates to us the key issues from his perspective. So God's been in a war with Satan for thousands of years. Satan has been attacking Israel, including Jerusalem, for thousands of years. So from God's perspective, this is a major issue. And God has communicated that he decided that Jerusalem is where he wants to put the temple and his name. Satan, in rebellion against God, has been working to thwart the plans of God. And so God says, listen, this is the outcome. This is the final outcome. This is how this ends. So you might say, well, what's happening with the United States of America? Or what's happening with China? Or what's happening with Botswana? Or what's happening with Australia? So on the new earth, there will be Jesus Christ ruling and reigning as the King of Kings. But there will be kings, there will be rulers, there will be a government, there will be an order of things. Everything will be made new and perfected. So will there be animals on the new earth? Absolutely. When Jesus comes back at the time of his second coming, he comes back on a horse. We learn in other prophetic books of the prophets, that there will be lions and other specific animals are named. So we can imagine that there will also be nations. These nations will not be ruled by men and women who are inspired by Satan. They will be ruled by individuals who have the Spirit of God within them, individuals who have the name of Jesus on their foreheads, individuals who are in cooperation with God. It will be perfect peace. There will be no more wars. This is something for us to remember. Before we get to this stage, we learn in the 1260 days prophetic statement that there is coming a time of great tribulation. That great tribulation will be like nothing we have ever seen on this earth and like nothing that will ever again exist on the earth. Why? Because the earth will be perfected. A new earth is coming. And on that new earth will be a new Jerusalem, among other cities. So this is something for us to look forward to. Take home point. On the new earth, the new Jerusalem will exist. There will be no more night. Jesus Christ will illuminate the new Jerusalem. And the splendor and radiance of God will light the holy city, the new Jerusalem. And so, in our lesson today, we have discussed the three prophetic statements in the new heaven, new earth, and eternities of eternities portion of the book of Revelation. We examined the abstracts for the dead judged prophetic statement. That's prophetic statement number 9. The new earth prophetic statement, that's prophetic statement number 10, and the city prophetic statement, that's prophetic statement number 11. In a moment, in a few minutes, I will conclude our four-part lesson on a study of the abstracts of the book of Revelation from start to finish. If you would like to hear these lessons in their entirety, please visit our PGN archive where you can access 24 hours a day all of our live broadcasts. So I am broadcasting live. If you'd like to hear the other lessons in this lesson, please go to the Sunday, April 5th or Tuesday, April 7th episode in which I discuss the open heaven and foundational elements portion of the book of Revelation. That was the first lesson. The second lesson, please go to the Sunday, April 12th or the Tuesday, April 14th episode in which I discuss the dragon power and beast portion of the book of Revelation. You can also access from the archive the Sunday, April 19th or Tuesday, April 21st episode in which I discuss the God's wrath and reign portion of the book of Revelation. Before we end, I want to read to you the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation. I also want to take your live calls. If you want to get in your comment or your question, please call 1-319-527-6027 and press 1 to raise your hand. At this time, let us hear the formal conclusion to the book of Revelation. This formal conclusion is the sixth and final element in the book of Revelation. It is narrated by Jesus Christ himself as well as John. It begins with verse 6 of chapter 22 and ends with the last verse, 21 of chapter 22, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass. And behold, I am coming speedily. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is he who observes and lays to his heart and keeps the truths of the prophecy the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this little book. And I, John, am he who heard and witnessed these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell prostrate before the feet of the messenger angel who showed them to me to worship him. But he said to me, refrain, you must not do that. I am only a fellow servant along with yourself and with your brethren, the prophets, and with those who are mindful of and practice the truths contained in the messages of this book. Worship God. And he further told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them. For the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of their fulfillment is near. He who is unrighteous, unjust, wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy, vile, impure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, in right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the before all and the end of all. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. But without are the dogs and those who practice sorceries, magic arts and impurity, the lewd, adulterers and the murderers and idolaters, and everyone who loves and deals in falsehood, untruth, error, deception, cheating. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger angel to you to witness and to give you assurance of these things for the church's assemblies. I am the root, the source, and the offspring of David, the radiant and brilliant morning star. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book. And if anyone cancels or takes away from the statements of the book of this prophecy, these predictions relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, together with the consolations and admonitions or warnings pertaining to them, God will cancel and take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the city of holiness, purity, and hallowness, which are described and promised in this book. He who gives this warning and affirms and testifies to these things says, yes, it is true. Surely I am coming quickly, swiftly, speedily. Amen. So let it be. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. The grace, blessing, and favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with all saints, God's holy people, those set apart for God to be, as it were, exclusively his. Amen. So let it be. That, my friend, is the conclusion to the book of Revelation. The conclusion began with the first verse saying, These statements are reliable and genuine and true. So what are the statements? The statements include the 11 prophetic statements in the book of Revelation, which we've been talking about in this four-lesson series. The prophetic statements begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Immediately following the last prophetic statement, God says, and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine, true. Friend, let us rejoice knowing that all of these prophetic statements are sure to come to pass. God tells us that they are reliable and true. God further says in verse 10, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them. For the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of their fulfillment is near. So he's telling us two things. Number one, things are going to be brought to a crisis. Now, what is the crisis? The crisis culminates with the 1,260 days. The 1,260 days is the wrath of Satan. The 1,260 days is the Great Tribulation, during which time Israel and Christians will be persecuted. The wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, is the time of crisis, but stay in hope, knowing that immediately following the wrath of Satan is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is the Battle of Armageddon, the war to end all wars. Those of us who are a part of the harvest of the earth, we receive our glorified bodies. We will not be harmed by the seven plagues or by the other battle strategies used by Jesus to defeat those inspired by Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and their troops and their followers. In this conclusion to the book of Revelation, God also shares in verse 12, behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me, to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. Friend, they're rewards for serving God. Now, the greatest reward is the crown of life, right? Living during the millennial reign, getting your glorified body, living on the new earth. Only those who die in Christ will live on the new earth. Only those who die in Christ or who are changed in the twinkling of an eye and never experience the first death, those are the only individuals who will live on the new earth. So what are the rewards, the wages and rewards of God? That's our judgment. That's our evaluation. So you already know that when it's time for you to be judged, if you die in Christ, it says, account paid in full. Your sins have been imputed onto Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, so his account is paid in full. Your account is paid in full. So your judgment is that you are rewarded. You are rewarded with a glorified body. In addition, there are wages and other rewards. God promises us that he will repay and render to each one. That's to you. You will be repaid and rendered unto you will be wages and rewards reflecting the value of your actions and your own work merit. You cannot work your way into heaven. You do not get into heaven. You are not made in right standing through good works. Let's be clear on that. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are made in right standing by God. However, you do get rewards, wages, and rewards for your good works. Hallelujah. Be aware that those are in your future. It is time for me to take your calls or to read your texts that have prayer requests or questions. I'm going to see if there's anyone who wants to comment or share. If there's anyone who has a prayer request submitted via text or phone. I don't see any hands raised. That tells me that you are listening but not talking today. I don't have any texts with prayer requests. So that means that we are coming to the end of this lesson, the fourth and final lesson that has been a study of the abstracts of the book of Revelation. We've gone from start to finish. I will be sharing this talk again live Tuesday, April 26th at 4 p.m. Central Time in case you missed any of it or in case you'd like to listen again. Also, make sure to join us next week at the same time, 12 p.m. Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the same channel, PGN, where I will share a new talk on the book of Revelation. I want to end with a prayer over you and for you. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed, happy to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart. For the time for them to be fulfilled is near." So friend, today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, happy to be envied, because today you did hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and you do keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because the time for them to be fulfilled is indeed near. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. I will be with you again soon. Until next time, friend.